106. Talk at home of Dr. and Mrs. Clement Woolson. 20th September 1912. 870 Laurel Avenue, St. Paul, Minnesota. From Stenographic Notes. The materialists hold to the opinion that the world of nature is complete. The divine philosophers declare that the world of nature is incomplete. There is a wide difference between the two. The materialists call attention to the perfection of nature, the sun, moon, and stars, the trees and their adornment, the whole earth and the sea, even unimportant phenomena revealing the most perfect symmetry. The divine philosophers deny this seeming perfection and completeness in nature's kingdom, even though admitting the beauty of its scenes and aspects and acknowledging the irresistible cosmic forces which control the colossal suns and planets. They hold that while nature seems perfect, it is nevertheless imperfect because it has need of intelligence and education. In proof of this, they say that man, though he be a very god in the realm of material creation, is himself in need of an educator. Man, undeveloped by education, is savage, animalistic, brutal. Laws and regulations, schools, colleges, and universities have for their purpose the training of man and his uplift from the dark borderland of the animal kingdom. What is the difference between the people of America and the inhabitants of Central Africa? All are human beings. Why have the people of America advanced to a high degree of civilization, while the tribes of Central Africa remain in extreme ignorance and barbarism? The difference and distinction between them is the degree of education. This is unquestioned. The people of Europe and America have been uplifted by education and training from the world of defects and have ascended toward the realm of perfection, whereas the people of Africa, denied educational development, remain in a natural condition of illiteracy and deprivation, for nature is incomplete and defective. Education is a necessity. If a piece of ground be left to its natural and original state, it will either become a thorny waste or be covered by worthless weeds. When cleared and cultivated, this same unproductive field will yield plentiful harvests of food for human sustenance. This same difference is noticeable among animals. Some have been domesticated, educated, others left wild. The proof is clear that the world of nature is imperfect, the world of education perfect. That is to say, man is rescued from the exigencies of nature by training and culture. Consequently, education is necessary, obligatory. But education is of various kinds. There is a training and development of the physical body, which ensures strength and growth. There is intellectual education or mental training, for which schools and colleges are founded. The third kind of education is that of the spirit. Through the breaths of the Holy Spirit, man is uplifted into the world of moralities and illumined by the lights of divine bestowals. The moral world is only attained through the effulgence of the Sun of Reality and the quickening life of the divine spirit. For this reason, the holy manifestations of God appear in the human world. They come to educate and illuminate mankind, to bestow spiritual susceptibilities, to quicken inner perceptions, and thereby adorn the reality of man, the human temple, with divine graces. Through them, man may become the point of the emanations of God and the recipient of heavenly bounties. Under the influence of their teachings, he may become the manifestation of the effulgences of God and a magnet attracting the lights of the supreme world. For this reason, the holy divine manifestations are the first teachers and educators of humanity. Their traces are the highest evidences, and their spiritual tuition is universal in its application to the world of mankind. Their influence and power are immeasurable and unlimited. One heavenly personage has developed many nations. For example, Jesus Christ, single and unassisted, educated the Roman, Greek, and Assyrian nations and all of Europe. It is evident, therefore, that the greatest education is that of the Spirit. The Spirit of man must acquire its bounties from the kingdom of God in order that it may become the mirror and manifestation of lights and the dawning point of divine traces, because the human reality is like the soil. If no bounty of rain descends from heaven upon the soil, if no heat of the sun penetrates, it will remain black, forbidding, unproductive. But when the moistening shower and the effulgent glow of the sun's rays fall upon it, beautiful and redolent flowers grow from its bosom. Similarly, the human spirit or reality of man, unless it becomes the recipient of the lights of the kingdom, develops divine susceptibilities and consciously reflects the effulgence of God, will not be the manifestation of ideal bounties. For only the reality of man can become the mirror wherein the lights of God are revealed. The reality of man will then be as the spirit of this world. For just as the animus of life quickens the physical human body, so the body of the world will receive its vivification through the animating virtue of the sanctified spirit of man. It is evident that the holy manifestations and divine dawning points are necessary, for these blessed and glorious souls are the foremost teachers and educators of mankind, and all human souls are developed through them by the bounty of the Holy Spirit of God. During the ministry of Jesus Christ in Palestine, he was surrounded by people of various nations, including the Jews, all of them living in the condition of extreme ignorance, bereft of the Word of God, and darkened in consciousness. Christ educated these people and quickened them with the life of the Word, so that they in turn became the instruments of educating the world, illumining the East and the West. Consider the wonderful effect of spiritual education and training. By it, the fisherman Peter was transformed into the greatest of teachers. Spiritual education made the disciples radiant lamps in the darkness of the world, and caused the Christians of the first and second centuries to become renowned everywhere for their virtues. Even philosophers bore testimony to this. Among them was Galen, the physician, who wrote a book upon the subject of the progress of nations. He was a celebrated philosopher of the Greeks, though not a Christian. In his book he stated that religious beliefs exercise a tremendous influence upon civilization, and that the world is in need of such belief. In proof of this, he said, in substance, "In our time, there is a certain people called Christians, who, though neither philosophers nor scholarly trained, are superior to all others as regards their morality. They are perfect in morals. Each of them is like a great philosopher in morals, ethics, and turning toward the kingdom of God." This is evidence from the testimony of an intelligent outside observer that spiritual education is the light of the world of humanity, and that its absence in the world is darkness itself. Baha'u'llah appeared in Persia At a time when the darkness of ignorance enveloped the East, and there was no trace of human love and fellowship. Through divine education and the power of the breaths of the Holy Spirit, he so refined the souls of the Persians who followed him that they attained a station of highest intelligence and reflected the attributes of perfection to the world. Whereas formerly they were ignorant, they became knowing. They were weak, they became mighty. They were without integrity, they became conscientious. They were hostile toward all men, they developed love for humanity. They were spiritually negligent, they became mindful and attentive. They were sleeping, they became awakened. They disagreed among themselves, they united in love, and are now striving to render service to the world of humankind. Service to God and mankind is their sole intention. They have neither wish nor desire, save that which is in accordance with the good pleasure of God. The good pleasure of God is love for his creatures. The will and plan of God is that each individual member of humankind shall become illumined like unto a lamp, radiant with all the destined virtues of humanity, leading his fellow creatures out of natural darkness into the heavenly light. Therein rests the virtue and glory of the world of humanity. This is the perfection, honour, and glory of man. Otherwise, man is an animal and without differentiation from the creatures of the lower kingdom. It is clearly evident that while man possesses powers in common with the animal, he is distinguished from the animal by intellectual attainment, spiritual perception, the acquisition of virtues, capacity to receive the bestowals of divinity, lordly bounty, and emanations of heavenly mercy. This is the adornment of man, his honor and sublimity. Humanity must strive toward this supreme station. Christ has interpreted this station as the second birth. Man is first born from a world of darkness, the matrix of the mother, into this physical world of light. In the dark world from whence he came, he had no knowledge of the virtues of this existence. He has been liberated from a condition of darkness and brought into a new and spacious realm where there is sunlight, the stars are shining, the moon sheds its radiance, there are beautiful views, gardens of roses, fruits, and all the blessings of the present world. How did he attain these blessings? Through the agency of birth from the mother. Just as man has been physically born into this world, he may be reborn from the realm and matrix of nature, for the realm of nature is a condition of animalism, darkness, and defect. In this second birth, he attains the world of the kingdom. There he witnesses and realizes that the world of nature is a world of gloom, whereas the kingdom is a world of radiance. The world of nature is a world of defects. The kingdom is a realm of perfection. The world of nature is a world without enlightenment. The kingdom of spiritual humanity is a heaven of illumination. Great discoveries and revelations are now possible for him. He has attained the reality of perception. His circle of understanding is illimitably widened. He views the realities of creation, comprehends the divine bounties, and unseals the mystery of phenomena. This is the station which Christ has interpreted as the second birth. He says that just as ye were physically born from the mother into this world, ye must be born again from the mother world of nature into the life of the divine kingdom. May you all attain this second spiritual birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. I pray that the confirmation of God may descend upon you. May you all be born again from this mortal world into the realm of the kingdom. May you clearly witness the signs of God, sense the virtues of the divine, attain the eternal bounties, and perceive the reality of everlasting life.